Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Sometimes I find it hard to fall asleep. Some issues on my mind, or I may have had a cup of coffee rather late in the afternoon. And I found that if I would quote Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, I would soon relax and be off to sleep. I know very little about sheep firsthand, because I was born and raised in New York City. But what I know is what others tell me. And I've been told that sheep have no way to defend themselves. They're harmless and helpless. If a wolf attacks a sheep, the sheep just drops to the ground, allows them to feast on him. This much I do know, the sheep need a shepherd. Yeshua introduced himself in many ways. And in John 10:11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." We know that's an allegory of a shepherd and a sheep. He's talking about us who are the children of God. But usually in the real world, the sheep give their lives for the shepherd. But Jesus says, "Listen, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep." We are very much like these helpless sheep. In fact, we don't know the way we should even take. Yeshua, as a good shepherd, gave up his life. That is so good to know that he deserves our loyalty because he gave himself to us. I want to share what this Psalm 23 is all about. It's about a personal relationship with God. So let's get into the psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." King David knew a great deal about sheep. He grew up as a shepherd. And he compared his walk with God to a shepherd that leads his sheep. Whenever I prepare a message, I look for the unifying thought. And in this psalm, it's the comfort of God. God comforts us. There are actually 6 points that I have today. They're not going to be as long as usual, but 6 points, but let me give them to you. The Lord comforts us with his relationship. The Lord comforts us with his provisions. The Lord comforts us with his guidance. The Lord comforts us with his presence. The Lord comforts us with his goodness. The Lord comforts us with his love. So it's his relationship with us. It is his provisions for us. It is his guidance on the path of righteousness. It's with his presence, it's with his goodness, and with his love. We're going to look at each point and look at what we have to learn. First, the Lord comforts us with his relationship. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David is saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I will not have any want of significant things. Notice the personal pronoun. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew God in a very personal way. Think of it. Almighty God, who created the heavens, the earth, everything that is in existence, has a personal relationship, a person-to-person relationship with King David. This is the relationship that we exhort you to have because God wants it. Listen to what God has to say, speaking through his prophet in Jeremiah 24:7. Then I will give them a heart to know me. You can't have a relationship with someone you do not know. That I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Knowing the Lord, having a person-to-person relationship with him. And we can only have this relationship if we know him. And we can only know him through Yeshua, who came to reveal the Father to us. In fact, he said in John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. There's an intimate knowledge between God and one of his sheep. The Quran, on the other hand, talks of God as transcendent, beyond his creation. He created the heavens and the earth. They agree with us in that. But they say that he relates to us as master to a slave, not as a shepherd to his sheep or as a father to his children. So our Lord comforts us with a relationship. Boy, this is so important. This is why I try to get people to make decisions to accept the Lord Jesus. Secondly, the Lord comforts us with his provisions. He says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Now, sheep are not like dogs and cats because they can find food and water. But sheep need a shepherd to guide them. Now, this is an allegory in that we are not literally sheep. We are like sheep. We do not eat grass, nor do we want to lie down in green pastures. But we can see how this related to David's life. David's life was not easy as he began his journey to the throne. Samuel anointed David as king over all Israel. But King Saul, even though he knew that God had rejected him from being king because he was not obedient to God, he knew that God had rejected him, but he was not going to step down and give the throne to David, even though David was married to his daughter. When Saul heard the women singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s, he realized that David was going to become the king. And so he decided he was going to murder David. And in fact, when David discovered this, he fled for his life. And he was hunted by King Saul. There are truths that we can learn in hard places that we cannot learn when times are good. David was in a hard place for some time. I want you to know that life is not easy. I don't care what your vocation might be. Some people think pastors have a soft life. They preach, what, for a half hour, once a week or twice a week? And they don't realize that when you serve God, the enemies of God become your enemies. Now, where do we get the inner strength to continue on in life? How do we get our souls restored with vitality and strength? I found it was in the quiet time that I took with God. Amazing to sit down alone with God and read the scriptures and to drink in the Holy Spirit. It nourishes us. It revitalizes us. It restores us to full strength. Now, I've had a very happy life. I haven't had many troubles, but I've had my share. And I found that it's in the secret place of our devotions that we can be strengthened. And here's what David said about that. in Psalm 4, verse 6. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us." You put gladness in my heart, more than in this season, that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So the Lord comforts us, not only with his relationship with us, but he comforts us with his provisions to restore our souls, to strengthen us from within. Thirdly, the Lord comforts us with his guidance. In verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When our Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want for guidance. It was the Roman philosopher Seneca the Younger, who, by the way, lived during the time of Jesus. He said, "Virtue needs a director and guide. Vice can be learned even without a teacher." Now, even after we're believers, sometimes we think we're doing right when we're on the wrong path, going in the wrong direction. I want to share an experience I had that clarifies this. About 60 years ago, I was about 24, an elderly pastor, a friend of mine, told me about his son, who was an evangelical pastor, who was a counselor, and he counseled people with hypnosis. And he had quite a few successes in helping people break certain habits. Well, I had a lot of curiosity, didn't have a lot of sense. I wanted to serve the Lord, and I wanted to help people. So I went to the library, and I started to read books on hypnosis. One day, I picked up a very interesting book. It talked about hypnosis enabling people to get in the clairvoyant state. I thought that was interesting. Well, I was 300 miles away from home, holding evangelistic services. And after the service in the evening, the deacon said, "Come to my home, we'll have coffee," and a few people were there, and we got talking, and at the time I was really interested about hypnosis. I didn't know a lot about it, but I was. We talked about it, and a woman stood up by my side. She said, "Can you hypnotize me?" Before I could say no or yes, she falls to the floor. So I'm thinking, you know, in my stupid mind, this is a good time to see if she can be clairvoyant. So I ask her to see heaven. And she starts off, "I see through this tunnel heaven, and I hear the music," and she starts describing it. I said, "Oh, this is not true." So I put her to the test. I said, "I want you to go to my home." Now, she didn't know me before this. She didn't know where I lived. She didn't know where it was at all, but she starts describing it. She says, "I'm going in the back door. I look to my right, and there's a table." No, it's a door on top of doorpost, whatever. Anyway, it's a door. I made a door, put some legs on it, and that was right. She said, "I look at my left, and there's a stove, and there's a refrigerator." So I'm getting a little eerie now. I said, "Look in the bedrooms." She looks in the bedroom, she said, "No one's there." I said, "Oh, I knew this. I knew this was a lot of baloney." So I said, "Look in the living room." She looked in the living room and she said, "I see the rug is rolled up against the door and the couch is put up against it." I said, "This can't be." But I called my wife. Now, my wife always tells me where she's going, but nobody answered. So I called my mother-in-law, and I said to my mother-in-law, "Where's Lee?" She said, "She's here." It's 12 o'clock at night. I said, "I want to talk to her." "No, she's sleeping. Wake her up." So she gets up, and I said, "Honey, did you roll the carpet up against the door of the living room?" She said, "You home?" I said, "No." She said, "How do you know?" And I told her, She said, "Don't you ever send anyone to our house again like that." I said, "Okay, I promise that." Well, the devil had set a trap for me, but I prayed. In fact, I should have known confusion is the work of the devil. And I think what he was trying to do was to get me involved in something beyond anything I understood. And I remember praying to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I'm not sure about using hypnosis in pastoral counseling. And because I'm not sure, I don't want to get involved in this. I want to know how I can help people." I don't remember how long. It was just a day or two later that I picked up a book written by R.A. Torrey, who talked about true power. He talked about the power of the preaching of the Word of God, the power of prayer, fervent prayer, the power of a surrendered life. I said, "Lord, thank you." He got me on the path of righteousness. So for 60 years, I haven't used any hypnosis, so don't worry about it. But I have found that preaching the Word of God transforms lives. The Lord led me on the path of righteousness. Oh, I'm so glad He does guide us. So when we come to the Lord, we don't know everything, but what we want to know is the truth. And the truth is that every believer who has been given the Holy Spirit has the power of God within him, and we don't need these other things, which would only discredit our ministry. Fourthly, God comforts us with His presence. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, Lee and I have been married for 59 years, and we do everything together. But there's coming a day when one of us will go through the valley of the shadow of death. And if it's Lee, I can't go with her. She has to leave me behind. And if it's me, she can't go with me. But Jesus can. Death is a great unknown to people, so people fear death. But King David had the assurance of the presence of the Lord in this life and in the life to come. He spoke of the two instruments that the shepherd has that comforted him. The rod. The shepherd used the rod to beat back wolves, protecting him from himself. "Fear no evil. No evil can touch me while I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death." And the shepherd's staff, if a sheep would stumble or fall, he'd use his staff to get under him and pick the sheep up. We do not have to fear death. I'm always looking for illustrations. Sometimes I have a dream, not often, but every now and then I have a dream that gives me a good illustration. And I usually record it in my prayer diary, and I have one here on March the 10th, 2004. "Heavenly Father, your word says that old men filled with the Spirit will dream dreams. I had an interesting dream. Or was it a vision? I do not know. I mean, I thought that I was awake at the time. You came for me and began taking me to heaven. I felt the joy as I left my body, and I was praising you freely without the usual distractions of my hyperactive mind. I realized that Jesus was faithfully completing my salvation. Then I asked you, Lord, is this my time to come? I didn't want to go before my time. I don't want to do something that would displease the Lord." And he'd say, "I better get him to come home." "And you answered in this dream, well, you told me to come and get you. So here I am." Well, I was having ringing in my ears that would wake me up at night, and I couldn't get back to sleep. I remember saying, "Lord, take me home. I can't handle this." But I said, well, Lord, you have the power to heal my ears. And he said to me in this dream or vision, whatever it is, he said, you have 13 more years, and Lee has 15 years. She didn't want to know, by the way. And I said, well, honey, if I live for 13 years after 2004, you know it was a vision. But if not, then it was a dream. But anyway, I've not had any bells in my ears since. But I want to tell you, that was such a pleasant experience of leaving my body, being fully conscious of who I was, to be able to talk to the Lord. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Dr. Barnhouse was a great preacher. He was a pastor. His first wife died. He was taking his children to the funeral. And they said, did it hurt Mom to die? At that moment, he had to stop for a red light. And a truck went by their car, and the shadow fell on the car. And Dr. Barnhouse said, did that hurt you? He said, no. They said, no. Well, he said, death for the believer is only a shadow. It's not going to hurt to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So God guides us with his presence in this life and in the life to come. He comforts us. Isn't this wonderful to know the Lord is with us? The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And he is with us as a faithful shepherd. Fifthly, the Lord comforts us with his goodness. Surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, David wrote. Now in verse 5, David comes out of his allegory of the shepherd and his sheep to tell us about what God did for his earthly life. In verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. David's enemies were witnesses of the good life that David had. David said, you've given me this. You've anointed my head with oil so that I am the king over Israel. And my cup's flowing, overflowing, and my enemies are able to see how good you are to me. Now, sometimes our earthly lives can be tragic because the world is not a friend of God nor a friend of God's people. This is a fallen world, so there are a lot of problems in this world that could beset us. But that's not the whole story for the child of God. This life is but a short period of our existence. We live forever. Listen to what God said to his enemies through Isaiah chapter 65, verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief in spirit. One day, and we don't know when it will be, it will happen, where we will enter into the presence of God. And we will then fully understand that his goodness follows us not only in this life, but in eternity. Listen to Revelation 1:5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washes us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if your life is hard now, it's not the whole story. It's only a little part of the story, because God has some wonderful things for his children, for those who serve him. Not only does God show his goodness to those who trust him, but he shows his mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Our greatest need is for mercy. David was not a perfect man who never made a mistake. He needed and got mercy more than one time in his life. When I was a new believer, I was conscious that I was a sinner. And I knew that as a sinner, I'm going to sin. And I remember praying, Lord, I know that I will sin. Not that I want to, but I will. That's my nature. And I pray that you will forgive me. And I may sin many times, but may you always forgive me. And I can testify that I may have failed the Lord at times, but he's never failed me. Listen to Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Mercies, not just during our lifetime, but forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Your faithfulness to forgive us of our sins. Is there anyone here that has never failed God? Is there anyone here? Well, you may think you may have never failed God, but God knows better. We're all sinning. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth, will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Wow, faithful to forgive us. So he comforts us with his goodness, comforts us with his mercy. The Lord comforts us with his love. Listen to the prayer that Yeshua made to the Heavenly Father in John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is the eternal word of God. And he said, I want these who you have given me to be with me. I remember when I fell in love with Lee. I was in college, so I had to take her to the dorm after our date. I did sneak a kiss in once in a while, but I had to leave her. But I thought many times, someday we're going to get married and we're going to be together. When you love someone, you want them to be with you. And so he prayed that we would be with him because he loves us. Listen to Yeshua when he was telling his disciples he was going to die. You know, they were Jewish disciples. So they were looking for the kingdom of God to come right now. They didn't understand all the prophecies of his first coming and why he would come and suffer and die and be resurrected. And they were full of grief. And so he said to them in John 14, verse 1 to 4, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I can't say anything like that to you. I can't say, you believe in God, believe also in me. But Jesus is the Son of God. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Peter, I got a place for you. Andrew, I got a place for you. Al Renji, I got a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That where I am, there you may be also. And he said, I'm going to come for you. So I don't believe this is speaking of the second coming of Jesus. I believe it's speaking of the moment that God comes to take you home. It'll be a beautiful moment. So there's a heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, and there's, we're told, streets of gold, something like gold. But there is a street up there, and there's a beautiful mansion, and my name is at the front door. I believe that. And I don't know fully what that all means, but I have a place in heaven. David had that assurance. See, when you're, and I remember having a teacher say, the Old Testament wasn't interested in eternity. That's not true. It's true, they were interested in Israel's redemption, being God's nation, but look at the Old Testament and you hear David saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, the Apostle Paul said, because he lives, we will live also. So we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, a lot of people have accepted Far Eastern mysticism. And it's interesting, they believe in total annihilation of the individual. One guru put it this way, we are like lighted candles. In death, our flames are extinguished. We cease to exist as individuals. Another guru said we're like eggs and we're in these shells, but in death the shell is broken and we are all mixed into a cosmic omelet. We lose our self-awareness, our consciousness. Another guru said we're like raindrops, that when we come to the earth we get in, we drift into streams and into rivers, into the ocean. So Far Eastern mysticism doesn't believe in the existence of the individual. This is not true of the believer. Listen to what Yeshua said in Matthew 22, verse 31. Have you not read that was spoken to you by God to Moses at the burning bush, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Moses lived 400 years after Abraham. And God said to him, I am present tense. I am the God of Abraham. Abraham's not really dead, yes? He died, but he's still alive. And Isaac is not extinguished. He's still Isaac. And Jacob is still Jacob. You see, death for us is existence forever. Individually, we will not lose our identity. We will be a better me, a better you, but not extinguished as an individual. In conclusion, I want to ask you a very important question. The question is found in Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now this salvation is the forgiveness of your sins, of a relationship with God. This is an amazing salvation. But in addition, it is a salvation that's been already paid for completely by God's Son, Yeshua. And it's offered to you freely, without charge. There's nothing I can do to earn it. I simply accept it. Now, if we accept Jesus, then we can say the Lord is my shepherd. And I know that he is faithful, as many of you can also testify to that. So here you and I are at a very important moment, and that's a moment of decision. What are you going to decide? See, God already wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be your savior. He wants to guide you in the way of righteousness. He wants to show you his goodness and his mercy. And all you have to do is say, yes, I accept you. I accept the Lord Jesus as my savior, my shepherd, and I will give my life to him. It's all he wants. And he does all the rest. Let us pray. And while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I want you to make a decision. You may have already made it, I don't know. Only God knows your heart. But I want you to say to God, I accept what you've done for me through Jesus. I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. And then you will be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you have said that, or you want to say that in your heart to the Lord, I want you to indicate it by lifting your hand up toward heaven. Would you do that now? Say, I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord, and I want to know what it means to say the Lord is my shepherd. Just put up your hand and I will remember you in prayer. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. You know, we make a decision. God's already said, come. Come. It's up to you now. Anyone else that would like to say yes to Jesus? I'm going to pray for those who did indicate that. Lord, we thank you that the experience David had, we have. The Word of God is relevant to us. We thank you for those who say yes to Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will bring them into your family, that they'll know you, and they'll know what we've talked about today is true. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.